I just felt like it was a little bit of a kick in the balls, to be honest.
It came a lot sooner than I thought that I would be the oldest player on the team.
That's all you got, brother. That's all you got.
The word of the day would have been hyper-realism.
We're bad at soccer, but we're good on a bagel.
Holding the high line with Rabbi and Red, talking the rapids and turning heads, with questions from you and analysis. In your car, in your home, thank you for tuning to Holding the High Line.
Hello, Rapids fans. You are listening to a Friday edition of Holding the High Line with Rabbi and Red. My name is Matt Pollard. It is Friday, August 2nd, 2024, just what, maybe 20, 22 hours after the Colorado Rapids 4-0 loss at the hands of the Portland Timbers in their first Leagues Cup game. Here now to talk about Leagues Cup, to talk about Club León, and maybe everything from a Mexican soccer fan perspective, and of course the Marcela Balboa Clásico from the Lion's Den podcast, a Club León podcast. Javi, ¿cómo está usted?
Hey, man. Hola, ¿cómo estamos? Colorado. I think it's what you said. I was telling you this is definitely the Marcelo Balboa Derby. I think it's the only real connection between the two teams, the cities. I love Marcelo Balboa, first of all. Like, that guy is one of the coolest people. He actually was one of the first people to really, like, when he found out about our podcast, I think about 5-4 years ago, he reached out to us, and he actually was invited, I think, twice already. So, and, you know, we didn't podcast this week on our podcast, and I was kind of, hey, let's bring him back, you know, like, it'll be great to have him, but he's super freaking, I'm pretty sure he's incredibly busy.
Yes.
I saw him, yeah.
We've had him on the podcast, and it was, there was a turnover. He was on the local broadcast, Altitude TV, for the local Rapids broadcast, and then that ended when Apple TV came in last year. And so we had him and then his co-host, Richard Fleming, on separate, like, long-form interviews to kind of say goodbye, because we weren't sure what was going to happen with their contracts and everything. And I wanted to interview them in the final month of the season, and I ended up interviewing them after the season was over. So yeah, Marcelo Balboa, between what he does with the Rapids Academy, I don't know if he's still doing the stuff with TUDN, but then all the stuff that he's going with Apple TV. Cello's available. He's able to make time, but you got to give him a couple weeks notice. And so certainly between the Rocky Mountain Cup and then Leagues Cup coverage, I'm sure he's incredibly busy, but if nothing else, we'll get to see him for the game on Monday. And I mean, you know, it's his birthday. I looked this up just the other day. Javi is actually August 8th. So I could not think of a better way to start off his birthday week than this game. And you know, if nothing else, there's going to be a lot of heated emotions. There's going to be a lot of stuff going on. I'm not going to project onto León fans, but I know there are other Mexican fan bases that travel to MLS and then do the P-word chant after goal kicks and everything. But if nothing else, every single person at Dick's Sporting Goods Park on Monday will agree Marcelo Balboa is fantastic, and we love him.
It's going to be a celebration day for sure for him. Celebration night for Marcelo Balboa. This is his derby, because what you just said is correct. For León fans, like, I, you know, he's one of the, first of all, I'm from San Diego, so he also went to SDSU. So there's actually a little connection between that too. But, he went to the 94 World Cup, and, right after that, him coming to León was a big moment for even people. I was obviously born in 92, so I don't remember that. But even my father, they have a lot of great memories, fond memories of Marcelo Balboa in León. And for that to happen, it's extremely hard. Like, I'm going to be honest, for León fans, like, we don't really embrace everyone. We kind of want to feel like, do you really like being here playing for this team? Do you like the colors? Like, with Marcelo Balboa, we believed it. So, like, that's the thing about it. Like, he kind of also kind of opened the door for future, you know, Hall of Fame, legendary U.S. Because I think Eric Ronaldo also played for León. And then you also had, you know, Captain America, Landon Donovan.
William Yarbrough as well, while we're listing former Americans.
Of course. Yeah, William Yarbrough also I think is top four all time porteros. And believe me, I've probably lay in my head and gone for hours and hours and hours, like, who are the best, you know? So I do put him up there, because to be bicampeón in this team it's happened twice before, but you know, that's why I like, it's kind of like for Yarbrough to be in that, you know, up there with these greats too. Like, it just tells you that there has to be a big American fan base that might just go for Leon, which originally back in 2017, 16, which is around the time where I wanted a podcast with my friends that I knew on Twitter that spoke English and, went for Leon. And I'm like, there's a market there. We need to just start talking about Leon. And then next thing you know, Landon Donovan comes to Leon. And this is kind of like, see, I told you guys, like, we need to get on this. And then next thing you know, we're having, Marcelo Balboa on the pod. And it just kind of feels like, this is incredible. This guy, after, you know, doing a lot of things, he's still very, you know, like, he wants people to, you know, make their dreams come true, I guess. Cause like, I told him, like, it'll be great to have you on the pod. And I was just kind of geeking out a little bit, asking him some questions. But yeah, he's incredibly busy because he was narrando the game against, Leon in Portland. He was, mm-hmm. he was like, you know, incredibly busy. So I understand that wasn't going to happen, but I'm just glad I'm podcasting this week because we didn't podcast from our side. And I'm like, oh man, that's a lot to talk about. But my friends are very busy too. You know, Louis from the podcast, actually, he got the name Fierro Viajero because wherever Leon goes, he's there. He's, mm-hmm. you know, they're in Saudi Arabia, he's there. Guatemala, boom, there.
Is he going to be in Colorado on Monday?
Yes, he is. I'm pretty sure. Like, if I, you know, yes, he is. Like,
okay, tell him to hit me up. You guys got the email address. Would be happy to meet up with him pregame. Or it's a Monday, so I'll be working, obviously. But maybe we can do something afterwards, depending on how the game goes. But we'll see.
Yeah.
So Javi, let's start small, because I think most of our, at least our English language audience, there's a handful. Won't go down this rabbit hole, but there's a subset of the supporters group called the Locos League, who mostly are some Salvadorian, and I think a lot of Mexicans. So probably they have a Mexican team. They're aware of Leon, even if they aren't Leon supporters. So let's start with your thoughts on the match against Portland. I think a competitive game, and then, you know, you guys end up losing on, you know, on a corner kick at the end. Your thoughts on that match and just the state of the club, given, you know, four games into the Apertura?
Well, on our podcast, I actually said that I felt that Leon's probably going to play their best game that they've played since, let's say, the Liga MX started, because we've been horrible before the first four. Not horrible, but just bad, extremely bad luck, where they just don't win anything. They haven't won any game. It's just lost, three ties. And that loss against Pumas was, you know, 4-1, which is embarrassing. So, The game against Portland, I think, was, I saw it, I rewatched it because I was working, but I rewatched it and I got to see a Leon that was playing better, even though they didn't have all their pieces, which is like, all right, this is interesting, because it was the intensity was there. You also had players like Alan Medina, who scored a golazo, who, you know, I kept telling people on the pod, you know, that someone wrote something like, I'm going to boo him harder than ever. I have this thing when it comes to people like that, because like, even back when we had a player called Gigliotti, and for whatever reason, you know, in today's age, you know, you got the internet, Twitter trolls, and like, when they choose to go after a player for whatever reason, and just people just kind of follow, like, you know, like sheep, and they're like, yeah, they don't even know why they're hating this player. They just hate him now, you know. Like, I always said, like, dude, this player is like one goal away from being an idol. You never know what's, you know, when they're going to appear. Gigliotti, you know, scored in the final against Pumas, and pretty much him and an incredible, you know, performance by Nacho Gonzalez gave Leon their last championship. So, you know, against Alan Medina was being heavily criticized because a lot of people do not like our current coach that we have right now, Jorge Baba. And Jorge Baba pretty much brought him, Alan Medina, Napoli, who's no longer on the team. I think he's going to go to Nacional. But, you know, this started kind of just, you know, the same old, which is, in reality, I think it is to the point to many, you know, the promotores, you know, or the representatives, are always kind of like involved in these transactions. When you come with the coach, you have to, you know, they come with players with, you know, they have to play these players a certain amount of times because, you know, it's part of the contract, even though they're not probably the best option to be playing. And it's just unfortunate, like, I believe, why a lot of times players that shouldn't be starting are starting. But also because mainly they did bring them. So it's kind of, well, let him prove his, what he's got. But the point is that he was being heavily criticized, and I kept saying, like, oh, you never know, he might just show up next week on the next game, and he sure did. So that's the thing about this León, that I think, even though I don't think Baba has total control of the team, or actually I feel like he understands, I don't think the players understand what he wants, but I think we have great players individually that just end up, like, John Dercadis is a great example. Like this Venezuelan player, to me, when he came to the team and showed what he could do, I'm like, I think Leon's going to just get lucky and get by individuality at this, because I don't feel like, again, I've been a León fan my whole life, and I could just tell when a coach just connects with the fan, and when you got something there, right? Mm-hmm. And we don't have something there. And, you know, I'm 50-50. I'm more like, if, you know, this game against Portland, you know, we were able to somehow win it, of course I'm going to, you know, celebrate. But I was very realistic. I thought, you know, it's going to be at least a tie. Knowing how great Portland and Colorado are, you know, I'm not ignorant. I've been kind of, also because I'm from San Diego, and, you know, we're about to have a team now here. So, like, I really have to be more paying attention to MLS. So I know both Portland and Colorado are both really, really strong teams. That's why I kind of wanted to see this matchup. But again, the game against Portland, when I found out we lost, because again, I watched it after work, I wasn't surprised, because it was part of the whole thing where I'm saying, like, it just seems like they just don't have, I don't know what it is. I don't believe in luck, but it just seems like they don't have luck. It just seems like they end up losing or getting, or tying in the last minute of the game. And it just seems like it's not their, somehow they're not in their best moment. But, you know, because there's even rumors of Poncho Blanco not starting, which is our goalie, against Colorado. So again, it's going to be a totally different team. Probably, I don't know what's going to happen, to be honest, when it comes to Baba and what he's going to choose to play against Colorado. But against Portland, I will say, we did play a little better, considering, you know, all the circumstances, the traveling, the fact that not all the players are actually gonna be able to make the trip to the United States. Like I was telling you, there's a player called Luciano Cabral, and he's a great, incredible player. He's our 10. He's our number 10. He's our crack. You know, and the only thing that was actually going right for León was the connection between John Dercadis and Luciano Cabral. And he unfortunately can't come to the United States because I don't know the whole backstory, and I'm not really one of those people that like getting into the gossipy part of players' personal life. But he went to prison, if I'm not mistaken, and he did his time. And León, you know, kind of a team that say, "Hey, I'm gonna give you a second chance." And you know, he's an incredible player, but you know, because of that incident, he can't travel to the United States. So León doesn't really have all of its, and they just bought another player like 2 days ago who's in León, just like waiting for like the team to come back, I guess. Mm-hmm. So it's just all these, you know, all these circumstances. It doesn't seem like León was supposed to play that well against Portland. So again, this just seems like we'll see what happens. I do believe that everything, our circumstances, like the game against you guys had against them, like I think that's a big factor. Like if you lose 1-0 or something, you know, that the thing about it is, like, you guys are gonna play at home, and you guys can, you know, look bad in your house. So that's gonna make it like 10 times I think more difficult than I had previously thought it was gonna be for León. So it's all up in the air. It's just, you know, Colorado and León are playing for second place.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? So
you mentioned the roster turnover, and I know it was, correct me if I'm wrong, in the 4 Apertura games so far, it's been 4 different lineups, and I think it's a 5th different lineup we're talking about the other night against Portland. So, you know, talk to me, what are you expecting stylistically, and are there any other players who you haven't highlighted that maybe Rapids fans should know about? We know Yonder Cadiz because of his time in Nashville, and we saw what he was able to do a little bit in that game. But, you know, I look at, as someone who only passively follows Liga MX, the name that jumps out to me that you haven't mentioned is the new signing, Andres Guardado, albeit I know him more from what he did with El Tri than what he's done in Liga MX, or certainly for Real Betis. Any other names that you haven't come up with, and what does this team look like formationally or stylistically on Monday?
Guardado actually reappeared, and he looked really well. He looked really good, and that's actually a plus. No, well, stylistically, I think Baba pretty much has his style of playing, I guess. I want to give him credit, but I think he's still trying to find his 11, his ideal 11. And when it comes to a style of playing, that also depends on what player he has on the field, right? So with Guerra, you know, sometimes it's like a linea, like five defenders, you know, with two extremes. And Guerra could play very much, you know, any position on the right side. And I think that's a player you should be careful for, because he's just a player, if he knows how to control his pace and just really, because he's really incredibly fast. It's just that you got to have a player, I guess, you know, I think it was Mena last season, honestly, that made him play really well. He's no longer with the team. So that's the thing. Leon is still trying to bring these pieces, and they don't really have them all. So yeah, I wasn't, you know, I saw the lineup and I wasn't surprised. I didn't think we had like a lot of our titulares in our starters. Mm-hmm. but I think right now he's just trying to see who's the best, you know, health wise, you know, rhythm wise, you know. So again, this is why also. One of the things that happened this season was that Cota was fundamental, not only for just being our portero, but our captain. And that's fundamental. That's one of the things that's happening right now, that there's not really a leadership. They try to give Fidel Ambriz the armband. Apparently, that didn't go well with a lot of players, because, you know, you got players that are like Adonis Frias, which is, I think, more of a natural leader. Poncho Blanco is also a leader, but he's been, you know, again, having to put on the spot now that Cota's left. And now he's has to really shine more than ever in his career, because he can't get these opportunities, you know, again, nowadays in Liga MX. But they also did bring another player, from the second goalie from America. And he's good. And I think I said this is great, because it can build up a healthy competition, right? If one player is really not, you know, rising to the occasion, give the other player a try until, you know, the other guy can just elevate his level. I think that might happen against Colorado. There's rumors that Jimenez might start. So from there, again, that changes a lot of the dynamic of the team, because if Poncho Blanco is one of the three captains, like, This is why I feel like this is just going to be a long pretemporada. And be honest, I predict probably a penalty shootout. I think it'll be a tie. That's what I want, right?
Okay.
It could be the other way around. It could be like, you know, really the realistic part of it is that I think you guys needed more, wanted more. You know what I mean? Like for Leon, a 2-week vacation wouldn't be bad. You know, it would be great to bring back a lot of players that are hurt. But, you know, I think the players and stylistically and all that, I think it's just going to depend on who he feels probably on Sunday are going to be ready to play. Maybe Guardado is going to start. You know, these are things that you know, are going to be a big factor. And if Ambriz is going to play where he's been playing normally, Fidel Ambriz, which is like the young star of the team. And the reason why I feel he needs to be played constantly is because they really want to sell this kid. He's very valuable at this age, but if there's not really a breakthrough season, you know what I mean? Like, it's gonna, you know, his value's not gonna be as what it is right now. But honestly, just depending if Guerra's gonna play how he's been playing, I think watch out for him. You mentioned Yonder. He's crazy. He could do things on his own. You know, there's a situation where really, he yelled at one of the young players, right? Because he tried to kind of finish the play on his own. And Yonder kind of screamed at him, like, hey, and we all kind of agreed with him. It's crazy, because I haven't seen a player like this come and like automatically the fans got his back. Like, it's crazy. We were like, yeah, man, that guy knows how to, you know, make goals for a fact. So why aren't you passing the ball to him? You know, it was like crazy. Like, he just came in. But what we saw was that he's hungry, man. He's hungry for glory. So honestly, I'm just gonna. I know you guys know about Yonder, but I think that's the guy, man. I think it's gonna come down to individuality, and I think Yonder is that dude. And other than that, I don't see any surprises, to be honest. I'm trying to give Baba the benefit of the doubt that he's gonna, you know, rise to the occasion and shut me up and be like, "See, I prove all you wrong, and we beat Colorado 5-0." I don't know, but you know, it's, and I don't think it's gonna happen. I think it's gonna be more of the opposite, what other fans low key want, which is a 2-week vacation, and maybe then they probably, hopefully, I think it'll be in the best interest for Leon to maybe have a change in the coach, because I know when a coach comes and I can feel it's like an instant connection. I know when you know it's gonna be a winning connection. You know what I mean? Like you just feel it, and there's nothing there. There isn't a lot of fans just don't like him, and it's not because he's the resultados. It's just because the results. It's more than anything because his style is not what Leon fans are used to in that way. He's very defensive. They made him play this season more offensive. That was part of the stipulations in his contract, to have good results and to change his style, which was last season was more defensive than what you're seeing currently. So he has to play more offensive, because like that's one of the things that the fans in Leon historically since 1944 have just appreciated and seen. Very offensive teams, and they're known for that. They're going all the way to eras, especially the last era with Matosas, which, you know, was their last back-to-back championship, you know, their bicampeonato, which is not very common in Mexico. And yet Leon was the first one in the professional era. And people tend to forget that, you know, because you got the Cuatro Grandes.
Yeah.
Who are Grandes. But Leon was bicampeon before any of them had even won a championship. And the thing really what Leon unfortunately suffered from was a bunch of bad owners that, you know, I'm thinking bilingually, I can't. Yeah. It's really hard.
So for Rapids fans who maybe don't speak as much Spanish, yeah. I know you said, Javi, I know you used the word crack. So that's been a really good player, a really skillful player. Brian Sorry Galvan was the yeah. was El Crack of Los Locos de los Rapids a few years ago. And then also Grandes refers to as the historic Big Four in Mexico, yeah. which would be Club America, Cruz Azul, Chivas, and then Pumas. And Pumas. Javi, I don't know if this is common in Mexico, but at least in MLS circles, we more recently have been referring to the Gigantes, which are the two Monterrey clubs. Monterrey
and Tigres.
Yeah. Yes.
Of course, because they are the most. So they got two very powerful empresas. You know, they got Cemex and FEMSA, which are great. You know, what would you call them? Like, that's the name of their company, I guess.
And owners.
Yeah, but it's a huge company. One's a cement kind of company. The most powerful cement. A company we have in Mexico, and FEMSA, I think I'm not really familiar with it because I really don't live in Mexico. You know, like I lived for 5 years in León, Guanajuato, but going off back to San Diego, but like I really, like I know a Copel, right? But you know, these are very powerful, they got a lot of money. So yeah, they've been doing things, I think, correctly, because they made all the other teams kind of take note, like, hey, if we don't invest either, there's no way we're going to compete. And I think America historically for years was just that team. There was only one team historically that was very, very rich and had a lot of money because they got Grupo Televisa behind them. Mm-hmm. Right. And that was America. But, you know, around 2004, I want to say Tigres was actually, it's not nothing new. You know, they were trying to win the championship. No matter how it takes for a long time. So yeah, I think there's, you know, the historic Cuatro Grandes. And then I think you got, not only you call them what, Gigantes,
yeah.
Okay, yeah, Tigres. But I kind of want to add Pachuca and Santos, or Grupo Pachuca and Grupo Orlegi, because they're kind of on the same boat of the. They just got a lot of money, and it's a very powerful grupos, right?
Yeah.
Leon really, they're just lucky that when they were in second division, Pachuca was like, wait, what? How is Leon in second division? How is a five-time champion with like such a great fan base, right? In second division, they saw all the potential. That's why they bought Leon, because Leon is actually, when it comes to like aficionados, I think they're probably sixth or eighth or whatever. But because I'm not gonna front, like Cuatro Grandes are the Cuatro Grandes, And I think Tigres right now should be the fifth, and just in fans, you know, like I think what they've been doing in the last couple of years is what I think as a León fan, I wish we had been doing, but we're not, you know, they're doing alternative routes where they're not really about spending a lot of money at all. You know, it's just kind of matches made in heaven. Like a Nacho Ambriz coming in and somehow or another making players better than they actually could have ever been in other teams, you know, discovering Fidel Ambriz and other things like that, you know, just in Matosas, of course, who found them in second division. And this guy was incredible. He would actually go train with the players. Like he was a different kind of coach. Like he made these players like Guli Peña believe that they were the best player on the field. And I think that's why I'm telling you, that's definitely an aspect that we don't really pay attention to a lot. The what the coach can motivate to. This is why I don't see it in this team. But you know, when it comes to León, that's the whole reason why I feel like they got to take these things more seriously, because it's kind of like what's the perspective of Liga MX outside? You think about the Cuatro Grandes, and you think about, you know, you said the Dos Gigantes, and then everyone else. That's what I wish León wasn't a part of, because León has great history. It's just that they have really bad management, I guess, because as much as I would praise Los Martinez for where they've brought us from, to always go, you know, year and year and year, and they don't really have a formula, you know, kind of just winging it in a way.
A historic team that's been underperforming, that's very much in the second tier relative to the bigger clubs in bigger cities with more spending, that's relying on youth players and is trying to have a better connection with its fan base. I could not think of a better parallel between the Rapids and Club León on that. Let's zoom out a little bit, Javi. Yeah. So, you know, Leagues Cup in general, it's in its second year of existence. We were talking before we hit the record button about how MLS fans are a little bit upset. What do Liga MX fans think of this competition? It disrupts the Apertura. There's a lot of travel associated with it. There's a similar, you know, to the extent that there's a rivalry between American soccer and Mexican football. And this is kind of, for me, it's a okay parallel to the argument that MLS has had for years that Champions League, CONCA Champions is unfair because Mexican teams have started their season earlier. Yeah. And then, so, you know, understandably, you combine that with the difference in money spent, it's no wondering why there's only been one MLS team that's won in the modern iteration of that. Whereas you look at it, it was three of four finalists in the semifinals last year were MLS teams, and Philadelphia Union blows out. I don't remember who they played, but they won the third place game. So the top three finishers you had in Leagues Cup in its first year were all MLS teams. How does the Mexican immigrant, American-based Liga MX fan feel about Leagues Cup? And is there a similar almost disdain or frustration that it disrupts the domestic game and we're doing it for money rather than the history that comes with Mexican football?
I think it's like a lot of factors too, because for instance, I think a lot of you're always going to have the Liga MX fans that just don't like them. Like I'm never going to be involved in any of those groups, but you have people that just hate each other and they could never accept like, oh no, they're not, MLS is not getting close to, I could care less. I believe if they're getting better than we should, it's like, you know, you could only get better as long as, you know, your rival's getting better. It's just, you're elevating. You have to, why wouldn't you wish your next door neighbor's league is getting really, really, in fact, I think you guys have surpassed Mexico in a lot of things, because, you know, since about 6 years, Mexico has focused more on making money than actually like having, you know, like, you know, there's no such things as you know, teams going to second division anymore, or teams from second division aspiring to go to first division. You stop all of that. It's just focused more on money. That's why you stopped going to Copa Libertadores, because they thought it was unfair. But again, well, to your point, it was also unfair for a lot of MLS teams when they played CONCA Champions, because just like right now, it's not a mystery why no Mexican team. Well, some, but I don't think it's not even close. Like I think the majority of the Mexican teams have lost these first jornadas and Leagues Cup. It's like the teams are not in rhythm. you guys are incredibly have, you know, you guys are, I just, again, we're talking about the Real Salt Lake game, and I saw that. I'm like, you guys, that's incredible. Like, Leon is barely trying to figure it out. And you guys have really, really great, almost like, you know, mid league, you know, kind of games. So yeah, it does seem like it's unfair for Mexican teams, but 2 years in, I think it's still an experimental cup. I think for many Mexican fans, they just don't like the fact that you guys are beating them. I could care less. Like, it just depends where your ego is at. Then you have the Mexican fans that do like it because you live in the United States and you get to see these teams that you probably would never, ever see. And that's also incredibly valid. Is it done for money? Absolutely. So again, that being said, that was one time, that was an argument for why we're not in Copa Libertadores. Copa Libertadores today makes, I think, the same amount or more. I don't know. I think things have changed a lot in CONMEBOL. So again, are we doing it because of money, or maybe just because there's a lot of, you know, it's a great friendship between MLS and I think it's that more than anything, that too. But, you know, do I believe it's going to be something that might be still around in a couple of years? I think so. But will it change? I think it has to change, because just like we were talking about how many MLS fans don't like it because it eliminates the U.S. Open Cup, that's going to go away or not go away, but MLS teams can't play the.
So the second teams, the next pro teams for most MLS teams were playing in that, and that was widely seen as MLS sacrificing Open Cup to then free up more Wednesday match days to front load the schedule. Because, you know, we're talking about normally, Javi, you know, we're into August normally, where we're a little bit over halfway in the season. So prior to League's Cup, yeah, you know, most teams would have played like maybe 20 games at the most, but probably closer to like 17, 18 games. And so you go back a couple weeks, the game on the 20th of July for the Rapids was game number, I think it was 20. There's only 8 league games left to play in the season. And that's because we're taking a 6-week break for League's Cup. So there's a lot of MLS supporters groups that are boycotting League's Cup in solidarity for the Open Cup and seen as a sacrifice. And Don Garber had some media availability during the MLS All-Star week that happened previously, in which he said his usual thing, that is speaking to the owners and the finances of the game, but at the same time, maybe out of touch with how the average supporter feels. So yeah, we're not sure what to make of this. I can tell you the only non-Rapids League's Cup game, I've only watched 2 League's Cup games. I watched the Portland Leon game in order to prepare for what Portland and what Leon were going to look like. I'm obviously going to be at the game on Monday. If the Rapids end up losing in penalties, I'm not watching another League's Cup game the rest of the way. If Messi gets healthy and Inter Miami's in the final and they're playing, you know, one of the Gigantes or one of the Grandes, then maybe I'll reconsider for watching the final. But yeah, there's a bunch of MLS teams who are frustrated with that. And I don't think there's any doubt, Javi, that MLS is, they haven't said this out loud, their target audience for League's Cup are the US-based Liga MX fans. And so they're relying on that revenue for people buying into, you know, I don't know what the TV situation or the rights are now for watching Leon based in the United States. But you think, you know, if you're a Club America fan, they're going to get the 2 group stage games. They're going to win at least a couple knockout games. If you look at the Apple TV prices for that deal, you're paying $10 a game for that. So they're getting that them in. Yeah. They're getting those fans who are buying the, you know, overpriced tickets because MLS teams are, you know, charging prices for, you know, the Liga MX fan who's looking into that. But so, and so there's MLS sickos who feel slighted by that they're being sold out for a cash grab, because, you know, like Club America could play a game, you know, in New Hampshire, and there will be Club America fans who will find a way to get there and to watch their team. And so that's a frustration for us. I don't know how that's affecting. So I'll throw it back to you. How is this affecting the Apertura, and is that frustrating Liga MX supporters?
Well, it's incredible for me that I feel like a lot of us can, you know, speak for the reality of how other fans actually feel, and the fact that these people in these powers of positions of power don't have a clue. You know, like they it's incredible that that's all they care about, which is, yeah, it's a cash grab. You can have it all. My buddy Louis was saying, like, you can have it all, but it's just there has to be a way where maybe this league has to be shorter, or it's maybe not all the teams get to play it, or it could be just organized differently. But to sacrifice, you know, to put first the financial and not actually the sport, you know, the what's best for the, how is this? Because in the past, when Mexico went to go play in South America, it was because you needed these kind of international kind of clashes. So you get experience, you know, and that does go a long way eventually for these players. And that's the thing. You can't sacrifice anything over that. There has to be, for instance, I in Mexico, understand that our second most important domestic cup is La Copa MX, the mm-hmm. cup, the Mexican cup. And that hasn't been played for 5 years. But that's for me an important cup because you can have young players play those cups. And that's a way of them kind of getting experience and minutes. And that's what's eliminating a lot of this, reason of why Mexico doesn't have any new really good talents lately, because there's no room for them. There's no way they're going to ever play in these Leagues Cup games unless, you know, or not even Leagues Cup, but just in Liga MX. If it's just that, the Liga MX, you need other kind of like domestic cups like La Copa. And that's why I do think this Leagues Cup in its intention is good, but I think the way they're doing it to stop both leagues is dumb. I honestly think that's what it is. I think you could do a better job. You can make them play at least every in between the week or make it shorter, or, you know, make it like a whole year, like a champions. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that I think the way that it's being done, it's just a little disrespectful, because it's kind of obvious all they care about is the money. And all they care about is what you just said. All of these Mexican Americans being able to go see their teams in places like, you know, St. Louis, or, you know, which is great. That's actually not a bad thing. But to sacrifice the other part, the stopping both leagues, I think is the big mistake. I think you could have room for Copa MX, the U.S. Open Cup, and this, and the CONCACAF Champions, and even Copa Libertadores. I really do. I'm one of those people that kind of always break my head with stuff like that. Like how I would, because I was going to ask you, what's that? The Mountain Rockies Cup, what were you talking about?
Rocky Mountain Cup. So that's a rivalry trophy that only exists between RSL and Colorado. So there were three games in it, and Colorado won the first one, RSL won the second. So then the tiebreaker, it was a must-win game for the Rapids because of the way the tiebreaker for the rivalry trophy is set up. So the Rapids ended up winning that with the you know, with that. I'd love to see more rivalries kind of be built out from this, because it's every single team playing in there. So, you know, Javi, you know, it's every couple of years for most MLS teams that aren't Seattle or or LAFC that get to play in the CONCA Champions. So I don't know that there's been like a real firm, like, you know, I wouldn't say that like Chivas and Toronto FC is a rivalry. I wouldn't say that like LAFC and Pachuca, you know, just because, you know, Columbus played in a rivalry from that. So I wouldn't mind almost if you were to regionalize it within the competitions to where teams play each other similarly. So then there's a sense of a rivalry, you know, there wasn't any connection between Rapids and Toluca last year. I think there's significance to this one because there's a player that's a similarity between that. So, you know, maybe that's something they could do. But yeah, so to your point, I think a lot of MLS fans still see this very much as a cash grab. If it's sacrificing Open Cup, then it's certainly a frustration. And to have the leagues play, you know, paused for 6 weeks, where, you know, over half of MLS teams are going to have 2 or 3 weekends open, I don't think that's worth it to have more games earlier on in the season, more Wednesday games, more 3-game weeks, which I'm burnt out about. Most players are, I know of some players who don't like it. I know a lot of fans who don't care for it. To have that, to have maybe you get one game against Liga MX's team, which is a novelty in of itself, but then to have 2 or 3 open weekends in, you know, Saturdays before school starts in late August, I know a lot of fans who are already kind of out on it. And Javi, this is before we even get to 2 summers from now, where I don't know how you stop for a domestically held.
Yes.
The solution for the 2026 World Cup for me would be to just not have Leagues Cup. I don't think Don Garber and the various powers that be that you spoke about when it came to, you know, trying to maximize profit down in Mexico are necessarily going with that. So I don't have a good solution. If I were, I would say you have it straight up to where I would go straight knockout. I wouldn't have a group stage.
Yes.
And I would say you just have every single MLS team host their opening game, and that's against a Liga MX opponent. I think we have enough teams for that. Maybe not. I don't think that we do.
Well, but you can do a round of 32. You could put the 16 best MLS and the 16 best at Liga MX and start.
So then you wouldn't have every MLS team that plays in it. Okay,
and that makes more sense because like, yeah, why does? I mean, I get it. I guess it was a way for. I mean, in Mexico, it was a way for teams like Mazatlán and Bravos to make money out there. You know, because in a way, it's all about money, and that's not a bad thing, but. You know, it was a way for them to also kind of, you know, even out the playing field in a way. But because the further you get, the more money you get. But I think it shouldn't be every team. I think because in a way, Liga MX has no consequence if you're in last place except paying some sort of fine to the Federación Mexicana, which doesn't make any sense to me. Like, why are you going to pay? Because you're in last place, you're going to give money to the federation. What are they going to do with it? How do you know that it's actually going to go into something, you know? So, like, I think. That should be the penalization for Liga MX's last two teams not, you know, performing well. You don't go to League's Cup and just do it like that. Like you said, start from the round of 32 and knockout stages and maybe do it like the last week of July and then the last week of August and then the last week of September, October, and then the final will be the last week of November.
Mm-hmm. And then you could also, I don't know how this would affect, I don't have a good understanding of the scheduling for the Apertura then, Javi, but then the MLS teams that do not qualify for League's Cup will know that, you know, from the previous November. If it's the top 16 teams in the Supporter Shield, then we know what teams aren't playing. Mm. In theory, there's enough teams between conference play to where they can fill out their schedule during that time as well, because then there's the you don't have the same dead zone for that. So, okay, for Don Garber,
and it's a dead zone that kind of doesn't make sense. Like that makes me feel like you're wasting these. Like you could really organize it way more better. Where you can actually have it all.
It's just all right, we've solved League's Cup. Congratulations. So
but real quick, just because I also went on a rant about like León played a cup, a Guanajuato Cup. It was interesting because they're celebrating 200 years as a state, and it was a state that kind of said, "Hey, we want to just make a cup where the most important teams of Guanajuato play." Now, this is important because León's historic rival is Irapuato. That's our biggest rivalry. Our passion has gone down because we don't have our rival. When you don't have your rival, you don't play for like almost 10 years. You know, you kind of start looking for, but there's one thing for a fact. Like if you have it for these teams to play at least once a year and maybe, you know, under it could be like young players too, right? Like that's even better because people of León and Irapuato and Celaya and Salamanca, which were the four teams that were invited, which were like four biggest cities in Guanajuato, right? There's a lot of rivalry between them, you know, like it's natural. You don't have to. So the stadiums get filled up because we don't like each other, right? Mm-hmm. So I see it like this. Think about it from a perspective of individuality, from you, what you just said, your guys' cup. That benefits who at the end of the day? You guys. It benefits your region, your people getting to see these rivalries and also to see young players to see when they can rise to the occasion to these, in a way, clásicos, you know, derbies. And for León is what I wish they could do because León is the only team from Guanajuato in first division. In second division, the second team is Celaya. And then you got the third division, you got two teams, Irapuato and Salamanca. Now, if they can play every year and see, you're actually, what has happened is like, you see a player that's really good and you probably might bring them like a young kid that they will never be seen because we don't even have a censor or descensor. You can see local players playing. You can bring them over to for León. They could really become better because, you know, if you're not going to have a Copa MX, you know, at least do these like derby cups like you guys have. I think that's incredible. I think that's what Argentina has. That's what Brazil has. They've been having those for years, for decades. You know, the Copa de Rio. You know, the Copa in Sao Paulo. And you got in Rosario. They play their cup. You know, that's how it should always be because I think that is what this sport should always be at first. You know, the passion, the futbolístico, the football part of it, the growing as a player, and yeah, make the money. But if it's going to be that first, and you're sacrificing everything else. That there's a reason why maybe Morocco be the United States, you know, in the Olympics, why Mexico can't qualify. You know, we should be producing way more better players, but we're not, you know, and we're about to host the World Cup, especially you guys. And, you know, to your point, they got to fix this mess before then, because I don't think you're going to be able to have League's Cup of 2026, man. The way it's being today presented.
Sorry. No, but to your point, Javi, you know, the Rapids, the last couple preseasons, in order to go somewhere at altitude and then get some, you know, warmer weather, since, you know, it's freezing cold in January in Colorado, they've been going to Querétaro. So they've played Querétaro and then a couple, there's a second division team whose name I can't remember, who's also semi-local, that they've played in preseason as well. And so we're at altitude, Querétaro is at altitude. In theory, Querétaro coming to altitude to play, you know, if you were to just say that Leagues Cup, the group every single year, is Querétaro, Colorado, RSL, that cuts down on travel, that makes something predictable for MLS fans to know about, for the Liga MX fans to know, like Denver or Salt Lake can be our base or something like that. I do think having the higher seeded Liga MX team that have like a hub that they're based out of is easier for the clubs logistically, is easier for their fans as well. And that kind of, that's something that complicated things last year. So, okay, we solved all the issues with...
solved it, bro.
Yeah, I'm going to send this to, I'll DM this to Don Garber once the podcast is out, and then he'll listen to it, and I'm sure he'll implement all of the changes, and it'll lead to a bunch of money for Leagues Cup, and it'll be great and fantastic, and then we'll bring back Open Cup as well. Javi, we're coming in on an hour that we've been speaking with you, so I'll leave it with you. Any final thoughts on the game on Monday? Do you have a prediction? We won't hold you to it or anything, but, you know, just, you know, officially on the record, how are you feeling about Monday? Who advances?
No, I mean, I think just final thought on the game specifically between Colorado and León is just that I think we're going to have a game in which we'll see who wants it more. And it's, I think if both León or Colorado go through, I think they have an interesting key. They have, you know, in America, who might face not far away, because depending if they do beat this, you know, I'm speculating, of course, but it's an interesting key. I think, just watch out for those teams, and you might get, have a good run. You know, I think depending on how the other team and the Real Salt Lake and Atlas group, I think, Bravos. I think that group, if Bravo does end in first, so this is my final thought is weird, but it's just, I don't know how really these cups works. What would happen if two Liga MX faced in the second round? What would they play? You know, I know America's playing here in San Diego at Snapdragon Stadium. So I don't know how, in my imagination, if Leo does end up beating, you know, Colorado and going through. Again, I'm fine if you get the 2 week vacation, but if they do win and go through and face a Mexican team and play here in San Diego, then I do want to have a good run, you know, like, you know, it is what it is. But my final thought is just that I think it's going to come down to really whoever wins, obviously gets second place, but I think it's going to come down to, I think it's going to come down to how much it hurt you guys against Portland, because you guys need to actually, you know, do something at home. And I think León, which has been resting, you know, in a way, could surprise Colorado in that aspect, because sometimes pressure at home could play against you. And I don't know, but again, maybe it's not as important as maybe it is to Portland or other teams. For sure, it's important for Miami. It just feels like he has to win it again, Messi. I think this Leagues Cup was created just because of that. And, you know, he's probably going to play Copa Libertadores, Miami, maybe. You know, it just seems like it's a lot of that. So I try to just see the only real aspect of it, which is who León is going to play, who's going to get minutes. Please, no one get hurt. You know, I care about pretty much mini La Liga again. So it's just going to be that. Like, if it does go to a penalty shootout, I think you guys might win, just because I don't think we got really good porteros, Poncho Blanco. So I think it might go 2-2 and you guys might take it.
Okay.
Depending on that's actually was going to be my prediction on our podcast. We didn't do the podcast, but it just felt like we're going to go to penalty shootouts. And you guys are gonna win it, man. Because at Poncho Blanco, I think if he starts, he's going through something. If it's Jimenez, I have no idea. I've never seen him play, so I think it's gonna come down to that. Our goal.
Yeah, I think Monday is just such a wild card for me personally, Javi, because, you know, as you mentioned, Leon's such an unknown. They've got so much going on. What version of them is going to show up? And then how is the manager going to try to set the team up to be successful? And I think Rapids fans were all vibes after winning the Rocky Mountain Cup. And then, you know, they go to Portland and it completely discombobulates them. And you combine that with the fact that they're on, you know, shorter rest than Leon was for that. And, you know, I looked the other day when I recorded with my co-host Mark Goodman, and there were a lot of seats that were left to be sold. If you just go on the Rapids webpage, and then it redirects you to their Ticketmaster. So, you know, it was a Toluca home game for this fixture last year. And, you know, Toluca was up in the second half and they scored some late goals and they were absolutely olaying the Rapids players. Wow. At home. So, you know, are there more Rapids fans or are there more Leon fans on Monday? What's the actual atmosphere and, you know, what's the crowd look like? I think that's particularly unknown. How do the Rapids reset given just the shock of what happened, you know, against them? I think it's a valid question. I do think this is a team where Cole Bassett, I think, has done a decent job playing in for Georgi Mihailovic, but certainly offensively, they've missed Georgi Mihailovic. And so to your point about how it's going to be individual moments, you know, is it Medina? Is it Yonder Cadiz mm-hmm. for Leon? Is it Rafael Navajo, who has not mm-hmm. scored since his transfer got made permanent for the Rapids? He has 2 assists and no goals in 7 competitive games since that became permanent. And Cole Bassett, who, you know, can be snake bitten and can be kind of emotional and let that get to him as well. So I think there's some uncertainty on both teams, certainly, but yeah. The Rapids are the home team, and Chris Armas has shown when this team has a bad performance, they normally bounce back. So I'll predict as well that the Rapids end up going through, and I think it'll be in penalties, but, you know, we'll see. You could tell me anything that happens between penalties or one team winning by multiple goals, and I wouldn't be shocked about it, just given the uncertainty of where both clubs are at going into this game. And like you, I wouldn't mind with some of the injuries the Rapids have dealt with, and certainly wanting to get Georgi Mihailovic back and focusing on league play and finishing out the season strong with their final 8 remaining MLS games. I wouldn't mind this team getting a couple weeks off if they're not going to win a trophy, and I don't think this team is going to win League's Cup. So I'm not saying that's what's the point or anything, but, you know, we'll see. Javi, thank you so much for joining us. Listeners, if you liked what you heard from him or you want to learn more about Marcelo Balboa's other club team, check them out at the Lions Den Pod, P-O-D, on the Twitter machine, and then they're mainly on YouTube in terms of where they're hosting the actual show, and that is at the Lions Den Podcast 1, the number yes. 1. So check them out with that. You know, perfect, Javi, because we've got HTHL and then we've got TLDP as well. So listeners, yeah. Thank you so much for listening to Holding the High Line, and certainly enjoy the Marcelo Balboa Derby come mm-hmm. Monday.
Yes. And we're also on Spotify, by the way.
Oh.
And I think iTunes, but hopefully it's a good game. That's all I want to see. I want to see a good game. I don't care, you know, if I'm that kind of fan. I want my team to play well. If we're winning last minute, playing horribly, I will get mad. I'm not going to be like, oh, yeah, we won. I get real mad at times. I like my team to play well. And we're not seeing that with this coach. So, again, it's not the end of the world that we lose and then we switch the coach and then we get 2 weeks of vacation to figure it out before it's too late and we got next.
Yeah. Well said, Javi. Let's get out of here.